Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. What a win for the Preds last night as they take down Buffalo 7-3. They'll host Seattle coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena Thursday night. And then once again on Saturday against Seattle at Bridgestone Arena as Pekka Rinne has a statue unveiled outside on the plaza at Bridgestone Arena. So looking forward to that and looking forward to these two games coming up for the Predators against the Kraken. What a night it was last night for Luke Evangelista and the Nashville Predators. We're going to get heavy into that in the show today. We'll be joined by Adam Vingan. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and the race in the Eastern Conference. Also, how Matthias Ekholm is fitting in with the Edmonton Oilers, who, by the way, are 8-2 entering tonight, entering tonight's action with Matthias Ekholm in the lineup. So we'll get Adam's thoughts on all of that, and you'll hear from Nashville Predators general manager David Poile coming up throughout the show as well. But we begin with the Predators and the win last night against Buffalo. They win 7-3, a 4-point night from Luke Evangelista. Philip Tomasino scores. Ryan McDonagh returns to the lineup. It was an eventful night for the Predators, and we discussed that this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Here was the conversation following the Predators' win against Buffalo last night, 7-3.
The Nashville Predators in Buffalo last night, and they win 7-3 against the Sabres. So what a couple of stretch of games for them. They give up 7 against the Rangers and get shelled 7-0 on Sunday. And then they turn around last night, Joe, and they score 7 against the Buffalo Sabres and win 7-3. Shout out to the Buffalo Sabres, who have given up 7 goals in consecutive games, which is a really difficult thing to do, but Buffalo has managed to do that somehow, even with against the Nashville Predators, who lately have not really been all that offensively inclined, but scored 7 goals last night. And what a night it was from Luke Evangelista. Besides the obvious of adding yet another goal to my total in the Preds Pick to Click competition, Luke Evangelista, 4 points last night. He had 2 goals and 2 assists, the second rookie in Preds history to have a 4-point game. Dan Hamhuis was the other one back in 2004. He had 3 points in a span of 6 minutes and 1 second, fastest a rookie has ever done for the Preds. And also, he tied Philip Forsberg's franchise record for points in a period. And that's not a rookie franchise record. That is a franchise record in general, tying Philip Forsberg for 4 points in a period, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Forsberg had that last year, actually, in March. So what a night last night for Luke Evangelista.
Yeah, nice. I mean, first of all, good pick by you. But no surprise there. And this is like the Buffalo Bills or Buffalo Bills. It's like the Buffalo Sabres of, you know, recent times that you might expect something like this from. But you just never know with this team, I guess, on a nightly basis.
No, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, Duchesne scored a couple last night. Tommy Novak scored last night, too. I mean, they went through a stretch there in the second period where, I mean, they were putting the puck in the back of the net left and right. And you get the win, you know, obviously – We talked about this yesterday. In terms of the playoffs, like, you're running out of time here. If you're the Predators, they've played 69 games. They've got 13 left. Winnipeg played last night too, so you still have 3 games in hand on them, but they did win last night against the Arizona Coyotes. Now, there is an interesting opportunity coming up. If you can win both of them, as David Poile alluded to yesterday, you can win both of them against the Kraken at home, then maybe it gets a little interesting with the Kraken as well. But, you know, this is still going to be an uphill climb for the Predators to make the playoffs. Look, the story to me beyond the playoff part of this is just Evangelista. Like, the guy's been pretty incredible since coming up. And I know we've talked to David Poile and John Hines about this, and I'm looking forward to having John Hines on the show tomorrow. But they're going to say he's got to get bigger. He's got to get stronger, and I agree with all that. Like, there's still every now and then you'll watch him, and he's getting pushed around a little bit, getting knocked off the puck. So that's going to have to be something that happens. But, I mean, when you're talking about making rookie history for the Predators and tying a franchise record with Philip Forsberg, and you've been up for a few weeks, That's pretty good. And I've kind of thought for a while he's got a chance to be pretty darn good. And the more I watch him play, the more I think that maybe he can be one of those top guys when it's all said and done.
One of those top guys, how top?
I'm not saying Connor McDavid, but if Luke Evangelista turned into a point-per-game player, I don't think that that would surprise me.
That's saying something. That would make him easily the best homegrown forward they've had.
Yes. So, I mean, look, I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. And look, he's, what, 2.5, 3 weeks into his career? So, look, there's a long way to go here. I'm just saying this is not really something new with him. He's been productive everywhere he's been. He's been productive in the OHL. He came in and it was immediately productive in the American Hockey League. And so far he's come in and he's been immediately productive in the NHL as well. And look, you know, last night he made a couple of really good plays. Even the assist that he had to kind of kick things off there on, I believe, Novak's goal was just a quick play, good read by him. And then the shot on his first goal was basically right over the top of the glove, bar down, with a nice little leg kick he threw in there too. And then he got the puck, got behind the defense, and went forehand to backhand on the breakaway. I mean, the kid's got some skill, and it's been pretty impressive to watch him do what he's done. And obviously 4 points last night is the headliner, but you're talking about, you know, 9 points in 11 games on a team that really doesn't have that much offense around him right now. And I think he's played really, really well, and this has been pretty encouraging from my standpoint to watch what he already is and what that could end up meaning for him. Still, I agree that the size has to get better. I think he's listed at like 183 or something like that. He probably needs to start pushing, you know, 190, 195 at some point. But the kid's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look, what he did in the AHL this year was a little bit eye-opening. I mean, you would expect a little bit of an adjustment there, right? I mean,
yeah.
And it's just instant. So now that also sometimes happens, and then guys get to this level, and, you know, there's a little bit of a leveling off, but some people just have it. So it's the size to stay healthy. I mean, that's the whole thing, the grind of 82 games in this league when people, you know, when they're so good at taking away your space and so physical. I mean, that remains to be seen, but I mean, how could you not be excited by him? And, of course, if Kemmel turns out to be, you know, the same, I mean, or somewhat similar, I guess, at some point down the line, and it's still, he's still obviously earlier in his timeline. Well, the whole Predator, it's interesting. David Poile's retiring, and all of a sudden, look at some of the forwards that are coming in here.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. And you look, Duchesne, to his credit, I didn't think he'd been very good the last few games, and he responds well last night. He has 2 goals and 1 assist. And we thought, you know, the second goal ended up being an empty netter. He had one before that was approximately 30 feet offside that they went back and reviewed, and it was deemed offside appropriately at that time. But 3 points from Duchesne last night, Novak with 2 points last night, Philip Tomasino with a goal and assist last night too, which is good to see there. And then Ryan McDonough coming back in the lineup also had a goal and an assist. So it was good to get McDonough back in there. David Poile told us on the show yesterday, Joe, that it was looking like he was going to be ready at the morning skate and that he could play. He does play last night. He gets back in there, and he has a goal and an assist. And Ryan McDonough taking down 17 minutes in his return to action last night. So good to see McDonough back in there too.
Yeah, so, okay, so they're good again. Are they good again?
I don't know. Well, first off,
Give up 7, score 7.
Yeah, that's the weird thing.
Can't wait to see it. So wait to see what's next.
Yeah, who knows what's coming tomorrow as they take on the Seattle Kraken. In all seriousness, like, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Predators here. Buffalo's not been very good lately, and they're not a very good defensive team. So we'll see what happens. Like, the Predators probably not scoring 5, 6, 7 against Seattle coming up would be my guess. But, I mean, you're hanging around and hanging in there, and some of these younger kids are gaining confidence. If you can get some help on the injury front, like you got McDonough back last night, if you could get a Forsberg back at some point, or Josi back relatively soon, or who knows what's going on with Juuso Parsonen, he's been out for 13 games at this point. Like, if you could get something back, that would be very nice to see what happens there. Now, beyond just getting bodies back, I would be interested to see, like, let's say all that happens and that Forsberg ends up coming back and Yossi ends up coming back and Parsonen comes back, what's your lineup look like? Like, what are you doing with your top six, and what are you doing with your lineup? Like, defensively, I don't think it's really that big of a deal or an adjustment with Yossi coming back. I mean, it's a big deal to get him back, but it doesn't change really the dynamic of what your plan is back there. Like, at forward, when you get Forsberg back and Parsonen back, who's playing where? I'd be really fascinated to see that.
Yeah, it's a good point. John Hines would love to have that problem, of course, you know. I mean, you can find a spot for some of these guys. But, yeah, it's amazing to think about a lineup where it's like, well, gosh, there's just too many good options for the top six.
You know? Yeah.
What a weird year this is.
Yes, very weird. Ty on the text line says, I was curious to see how they would respond after getting smashed. I'll take it. Kelton on the text line says, Tomasino is playing well too. He's going to be good. Tomasino did play well last night. It was funny, the goal that he scored last night, it was kind of like a cross-ice feed from Matt Duchene. And I say Tomasino probably got 30% of it. He got 30% of the shot off. And it ended up being like a nice change-up fluttering shot into the back of the net. So sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, Joe Rexroad.
Indeed. And, hey, at least, I mean, I know he was kind of joking yesterday, but didn't Poile kind of say they should have called him up earlier?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Maybe he's just trying to placate you. But, yeah, maybe so.
He probably was. But, I mean, it's kind of true, right?
I mean, he's looked pretty good to me. Now, I still watch him every now and then away from the puck, and I'm like, eh. I don't know. But to me, sure, like, what he does with the puck kind of offsets that. Like, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, it's important to have that in a hockey team. So, no, it's – I mean, look, it's – regardless of what happens here, it's still, I think, a long shot for them to really be there at the very end. There's at least – next year, there are a lot of reasons to watch this team.
Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds, some of the young guys that have come into the lineup, the direction with Barry Trotz taking over coming up on July 1st, and a whole lot more around the league as well. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you. We'll have Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer coming up a little bit later in the show. But we caught up with Adam Vingan this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, and we got into a variety of different topics with him, from the Predators to some of the young guys, the direction for the Predators. Also, how is Matthias Ekholm fitting in with the Edmonton Oilers? We got into that with Adam as well. Here was that conversation this morning with Adam Vingan.
So, Adam, the Predators, last night they went 7-3 against Buffalo. Just the picture of this Predators team right now. And you were on with me when the Barry Trotz and David Poile stuff went down. And obviously, since then, they traded Ekholm. We know what all happened at the deadline there. What do you make of this new direction for the Predators? Some of the young guys that have stepped in, like Luke Evangelista, who had 4 points last night. And the path forward now for Barry Trotz as he prepares to take over coming up on July 1st.
Yeah, things don't seem as bleak as they might have been when all of those moves were made. When you also include the fact that Philip Forsberg hasn't played in about a month, at least, or over a month, and Ryan Johansson has also been missing. You know, I know that the Predators have sort of hit the skids recently. They did have a big win last night against the Sabres, but before that they had dropped 3 in a row. You know, the only thing I think really keeping the Predators in this race is the fact that the Flames and the Jets also can't win consistently, though both of those teams did win last night, so the standings didn't change in terms of points and everything like that. So, I've been somewhat encouraged by what I've seen, particularly from the younger players. You mentioned Luke Evangelista had a huge game last night. I thought he was the first rookie to have a 4-point game for the Predators since Dan Hanhuis, like 20 years ago almost. Oh, yeah. And I also saw that he tied the franchise record for most points in the period. Philip Forsberg had 4 points in the period last season. Actually, exactly 1 year apart. It was 1 year ago yesterday that Forsberg had his 4-point performance in the period against the Ducks. So I thought that was interesting too. But, you know, Evangelista, I think, has played well. I looked this up before I came on. Since he debuted, the only player on the team with more scoring chances than Evangelista is Matt Duchene. So he's been active in the offensive end. And I've liked what I've seen from Tommy Novak and Philip Tomasino too. So, you know, I do wonder how much of a psychological effect that the trade deadline and the injuries to Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson had on this group. I wonder if the fact that the burden of expectations were lifted off their shoulders by what happened at the deadline has led to this, because they seem to be playing, again, from afar, they seem to be playing a lot more freely. It doesn't appear that they're being crushed under the pressure of trying to make the playoffs and compete in the playoffs, and I think that's had a positive effect on what you've seen over the past few weeks.
So Robbie dropped the point-a-game player reference possibility to Evangelista earlier on the show, Bingen. Do you see that kind of ceiling for him?
Like over the course of his career?
Yes, not right now.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm saying what he could become.
It's a good question. I mean, he certainly has the pedigree. He was that type of player in junior, but as we know, that does not always translate. You know, Philip Tomasino was also a 100-point scorer in junior, and he's been good. You know, I'm not sure if I would say Philip Tomasino is going to be a point-per-game player. I think it's too early to say. He's played, what, like 12 games in the NHL?
11, yeah.
So I think it's a little too soon to say. I certainly think he has the talent to be a productive member of the team for many, many years. I might pump the brakes in the point-per-game player thing, because, you know, how many point-per-game forwards have the Predators had in their history? Like, history suggests it's probably less likely than not, you know, less likely to happen. So I like what I've seen. I'm not ready to anoint him as the next great Predators forward.
Adam, too bad. Robbie guaranteed it.
Yeah, I said, you know, Connor McDavid 1, Luke Evangelista 2 is coming up in the not-too-distant future.
What guarantees do on this, yes, on this station?
Yes, we have.
Okay, just letting you know.
Our brand. That's our branding.
That's what we do. Adam Bingen with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, I'm curious for your thoughts on Matthias Ekholm and his fit with the Oilers. Obviously, you're very familiar with Ekholm. You know what he brings to the table. We know what Edmonton has been missing. To me, it kind of feels like he's the style that he plays is exactly what they were missing. And look, they're 8-2 in 10 games since he joined the team. Now, that's not specifically because Matthias Ekholm is on the team, because they still have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But I think he's helped a lot, and he's got 9 points in those 10 games. What do you make of Ekholm, the addition to the Oilers, and how that positions Edmonton heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think shortly thereafter, you know, shortly after the trade, Jay Woodcroft, who's the coach of the Oilers, was asked about Ekholm's fit with the team, and he said, he fits us like a glove, and he's exactly the type of player that we needed, and you're seeing exactly why, because the Oilers, you know, they have an okay group of defensemen. I mean, Darnell Nurse gets paid like a great defenseman. I wouldn't say he's a great defenseman. I think he's a good defenseman. And I think he was being, you know, taxed a bit too much in terms of the players he was playing against and the minutes he was playing. You know, we know full well that Matthias Ekholm is more than capable of facing tough competition night in and night out, and you're seeing that. He's also been incredibly productive offensively. I think he has 5 points in his past 2 games. He had 2 goals the other night, and I think he had 3 assists the game before that.
Yep.
So it's funny, because when you look at what the Predators got for Ekholm, you know, they got Reed Schaefer, who was a first-round pick. They got Tyson Barry. Remind me, what else?
Another first-round pick, too. Yep.
Yeah, they got another first-round pick. So it kind of looks like a steal at this point for the Oilers, considering that Ekholm is under contract for a couple of more years, and the Oilers didn't have to give up, you know, a significant asset. You know, I don't think Reed Schaefer was one of their top prospects necessarily. You know, I guess you'll have to see what happens with Reed Schaefer if he becomes a regular, you know, a regular contributor to the team. You know, what they do with that pick, with that first round pick. If, you know, what happens with Tyson Barry if they flip him at the deadline next season, for example, and they get some assets back. You know, that folds into it. So right now it looks like the Oilers got an incredible bargain for Matthias Ekholm. But, you know, for a team that, you know, has more or less wasted, you know, some of the best years of Connor McDavid's career already, not getting to a Stanley Cup final, you know, and him having the season he's having this year, you have to go all in. And I think the Oilers were smart to do that. And I think Ekholm has been a really good player for them.
Did I hear right? So Robbie's basically saying that Matthias Ekholm's going to be a point-a-game defenseman with the Oilers.
Well, it turns out yeah. that playing with yeah. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl may help your offense.
It does seem to be a good thing. He seems to have a glowing demeanor, too, when I see interviews with him on Twitter.
He does seem to be very happy. No question about it. Adam, last
night. It's always hard to tell when Matthias is happy. I mean, he's an even-keeled guy, you know?
He is. Adam, last thing for you here. The Rangers obviously shelled the Predators the other night. They get Patrick Kane. They get Vladimir Tarasenko at the deadline. They already had Zibanejad and Kreider and all these other guys. Panarin in there, too. What do you make of the team that the New York Rangers have assembled and where they fit in the East?
You know what my favorite part of that game was the other night? That 7-0 loss to the Predators, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that despite every 7-0 win against the Predators, I'm sorry. Despite how many goals the Rangers scored, I don't think Patrick Kane had a point.
He did not.
So it's funny considering how he has tormented the Predators throughout his career, and then the first time he plays them with the Rangers, the Rangers kick the Predators' butt and he doesn't get a point. I did think that was somewhat amusing. I think the Rangers, I think, what did they score? 15 or 16 consecutive goals over 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, this is exactly what they were thinking about when they made those trades for Tarasenko and Kane. And, you know, I look at the top of the Eastern Conference. We know how good Boston is. You know, we're expecting a playoff series between the Devils and the Rangers, so the Devils are creeping up on the Hurricanes. You know, I'm hoping that the Devils stay in second place because I would love to see a battle of the Hudson River between the Devils and the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs. You know, Carolina it has lost Svechnikov for the rest of the season, which is a huge blow. So I think the Rangers certainly have a chance. I mean, we've seen how good Igor Shesterkin can be. You know, they've got Adam Fox, Keandre Miller had 4 points in the first period the other game against the Predators. So, I mean, I think the Rangers are a really good team. I just look at the rest of the top of the East, and it's hard to choose which team. I mean, obviously Boston is the clear favorite, but after that, you know, I feel like you can make a good case for second place between Carolina and New Jersey, the Rangers, the Maple Leafs, and the Lightning. I think it's a toss up for the other, you know, the other five teams. So, yeah, the Rangers had their way with the Predators, and I think that's not a great sign for the Predators' playoff chances, considering how many more bona fide playoff teams they're playing down the stretch. Buffalo is a team much like the Predators, a bubble team that has been fading. I think they had lost 9 of 11 before they played the Predators, so they were on the downswing anyway. But with two against Seattle coming up, Toronto, Boston, Dallas, and Vegas, Carolina. I think the Predators' Cinderella run is going to run out, unfortunately. But the Rangers that was a sight to see on Sunday. That's exactly what they were hoping for when they made those trades.
Thanks to Adam Vingan for being with us here on the show. Coming up next, you'll hear from Nashville Predators general manager David Poile. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We caught up with Predators general manager David Poile earlier this week on Robbie and Rex Road. Here was that conversation.
David, are you concerned from a long-term perspective with Philip Forsberg's injury?
I think when you're dealing with these situations, you're always a little bit worried, but I mean, I think Philip is really, really close. I mean, he's been very active in terms of practicing with our skating and skills coach, and the doctors in terms of the things that he does in testing wise. So I think we want to be, and he wants to be very cautious. But I would say no to that. I think he will. I'm pretty confident that he will be back before the end of the year. I hope it's sooner than that, but I don't think that this will be a long range situation any more than it has been, which is unfortunate for us, and of course most importantly unfortunate for Philip.
David, you mentioned the Winnipeg game, like you said, really really hard fought game for lots of your younger guys, probably the first time they've been in a situation quite like that at the NHL level. How valuable for guys like Cody Glass and Luke Evangelista and Philip Tomasino and some of these young guys, how valuable are high-pressure games like that for them, and how valuable could those be coming up down the stretch here?
Well, that's exactly what it is right now. I mean, we're trying to live in the moment and keep pressing on and try to, you know, work our way to get that last playoff spot. But the bigger picture, of course, with all the trades we made at the trading deadline, is what does the future look like for the Predators, and who do we have in our system that's going to replace players that we traded away? And I think, you know, you've named some names like Evangelista has looked really, really good. The puck comes to him. He's certainly an offensive player. We know he's got to get bigger and stronger to be able to have that durability to be successful in the National Hockey League. Phil Tomasino was a regular question pretty much on the show every week in terms of him not making our team and when were we going to give him a chance. Now he's, based on his play and, you know, the trades we've made, he's basically playing first line, first power play, and he looks like a real, real good player. You got Tommy Novak that started the season in Milwaukee, and he's played terrific for us. So, you know, securing, you know, one of our top three center positions. Then you've got Cody Glass, as you mentioned, a player that was kind of, I would say, a little bit in and out of our lineup at the beginning of the season, now he's worked his way up to the top line, and you certainly see him, you know, that his future at the moment probably playing with a Forsberg or a Duchesne and being our top center. And then we have a Parsonen who is unfortunately been out now for the last three or four weeks that was playing terrific, and, you know, he's going to fit in there somewhere. So, you know, that those are some names in terms of what happens when you make the changes that we did at the trading deadline, you know, trading away, you know, players like Michael Granlund, for example. But I think what we found out here that we do have players that can replace these guys, and I think the future looks, you know, pretty good for the Predators in that regard.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad I don't get to keep asking about Tomasino every week, actually, now that you mention it.
We just kind of have to call him up. I mean, this was getting ridiculous talking about that every week. So you were right. We should have called him up earlier.
Well, I did want to ask you about Novak, David. Would you say that he is maybe accelerated beyond expectation this year?
I would say, right, or maybe we weren't looking at it correctly. I mean, that's one of the things when you set your lineup and, you know, you give the veteran players probably get more opportunities to play well or even to have, you know, off games, if you will, and you kind of stick with them. Contracts certainly dictate a fair bit of what we do. And, you know, Novak's been a good player in Milwaukee, but, you know, for whatever reason, we just didn't give him the chance that we've now presently given him. And he's, you know, to me, he certainly has exceeded expectations. His game is a little bit quicker than I thought it was. His ability to just hang on to the puck to make plays, his scoring. I mean, he seems like he's a pass first player, but now all of a sudden he's starting to score goals and shoot the puck. And that's something basically he never did as a younger player in college. And even in Milwaukee, he was always a first pass guy. So, a little bit of a late bloomer, but I'm certainly glad that we gave him a chance because he certainly deserves to be here right now.
Predators General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. And David, I want to circle back to Cody Glass. Obviously, as you laid out there, it's been an eventful year from him, and now he's getting a lot of playing time and a lot of opportunity. Have you seen enough from him to convince you that he can be a top two centerman for you long term moving forward here?
I think we're getting closer to that. I mean, in case he's listening to the broadcast, I don't want him to think that he's got it made. I mean, again, as you see, just in his progress as a first pick, I mean, he's really taken baby steps versus these, you know, giant leaps. And he's almost like a step forward, takes, you know, sometimes a step backwards and takes two steps forward. It's a little bit of a slow progress with him, but it, to me, when he gets it, he gets it. And I'm looking for, you know, a good off season from Cody. Again, a little bit more strength to be able to play the big minutes. If you're going to be a top two line player, you got to play against the top two lines of the other team. You got to play harder minutes. You got to be bigger, stronger. He's got to work on some individual things like his face off. So I feel good about it. I don't want to, you know, completely say that it's a slam dunk, but he's trending in the right direction, and I like his attitude. I like his He seems to have a purpose of where he believes he can go. So I'm betting that Cody will be one of our top two centers. Yes.
You guys, you know, stick with Dante Fabbro, and I know it's been up and down for him since that really good debut back in the in the playoffs in 2019. David, where is he in your mind, and what does he need to do to get better?
Well, I think a similar situation to with Cody. I mean, Dante came onto the scene, which was very, very good, and again, I totally agree with you, and I hope he would also, that this was not a good year for him. Since he signed the contract, I would say he's probably played as good as he's played all year long. Whether that was a factor, I don't know. But to me, it's going to start in the off season for him again. I mean, we have to challenge him to be quicker, stronger, a little bit better shape. Work on his shot a little bit. Bring another dimension. How is he going to grow his game? So, I think that this off season is going to be huge to Fabbro in terms of, where he fits into the Predators, not only next year, but, is he going to be a long-term, player for us? Because I would say that his progress, stalled a little bit this year. So I'm glad that we signed him. I'm glad to see that his play, in my opinion, is picked up since he signed the contract. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season and what he does in the off season. I really, if I was going to, bet on somebody, I'd hope that next year is going to be his best year ever.
David, last thing for you here. You guys brought Joakim Kemmel over from Finland, who obviously was your first-round pick last year. He's only played in a couple of games in Milwaukee to this point, but how valuable is it for you guys to get a look at him over at the American Hockey League level to end this season?
Just another young player, first pick, a guy that's got some really good offensive talents. I mean, as in his first two games, I think my reports that I got from the guys down there was that he played well. He played a little bit more gritty than we thought. He seems to be able to play at the pace of the league. So this is one of the benefits of his season ending over there, and us getting a little bit of a free look for him. To play the rest of the year, in Milwaukee, they should make the playoffs down there. So we should get some more action there. He'll come to our development camp. And just like we talked about Tomasino and Evangelista, just throw him into the mix for the future. Logically, he should play a full year in Milwaukee to see how he does. But again, we're open minded to any of these younger guys with the trades that we made at the trading deadline. We certainly feel like we're probably going to be one of the younger teams in the league next year. And Kemmel's an offensive player. He's probably right there with Evangelista and Tomasino in terms of his potential and his ability to score and probably play on our top two lines. So exciting that we're getting these young players into Milwaukee and giving them an opportunity this season.
Thanks to Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile for being with us. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. That's next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. And our man Nick was on vacation last week, but he's back this week for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. Nick, go ahead and take it away.
Passes over to the left board. It trickles out to center. Predators now with a 2-on-1. Here's Evangelista. He scores! Luke Evangelista buries it. And the Predators now have a 4-1 lead. Down the right wing, here's Evangelista breaking in again. His backhander, he scores! Luke Evangelista has scored two goals here in less than a minute. And it's 5-1 Nashville. And time will run out on that one as the Predators take this one by a final of 7-3.
That was the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, on the call last night as the Nashville Predators won 7-3 over the Buffalo Sabres. Pete is back on the road after 150 plus days away from the mic. So glad to have you back, Pete. Luke Evangelista scored 4 points in the second period on Tuesday evening, the most by a Preds player since Philip Forsberg did that exactly 1 year ago to the date, last March, against the Anaheim Ducks, as the Nashville Predators went on to win that game 6-3 right here in Smashville. Welcome into another edition of Keezer's Corner. Glad to have you in here for the back half of Preds Insiders this evening. It's been all about the young guys lately, so I want to start off there because Luke Evangelista is just one bit of the microcosm that the Nashville Predators have been showcasing here the last few weeks. So since he was called up, Evangelista has been tearing it up for the Nashville Predators. He made his NHL debut against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and since then, he has had two multi-point and multi-goal games as a member of the Predators, scoring 9 points in his first 11 games in the NHL. So with that, he's also been tearing it up in the minor leagues as well. I've talked several times with Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, and he has had nothing but high praise for the forward. So I've been very happy to see him play up here at the NHL level, albeit it's mainly because of a lot of injuries that we have seen on the Nashville Predators. The likes of Philip Forsberg have been out, like I've already mentioned. Ryan McDonough was out before the other night when he returned. He also scored a goal in that game as well. We've also not seen the likes of Juuso Parsonen in the lineup as well. He had that weird little injury against the San Jose Sharks in that late night game here. So I'm curious to see when he's able to come back. The Preds have also been out, have been without the likes of Mark Borowiecki, but he's been out most of the season. But that is just not an encouraging thing to have happen all year long for that guy. So I hope that we hear something about Mark Borowiecki soon. I know I've had some fans reach out to me and just have asked, what is going on with him? And quite frankly, I don't know too much that's going on with Borowiecki other than the fact that he's had a lot of concussions in his life, and the Preds are taking every precaution necessary before they bring back a guy like that. So, but among those guys being out as well, I did notice the other day, prior to the game against the Buffalo Sabres, the Preds had missed a total of 180-odd games combined by their players this year due to injury. So not something you want to have happen, especially because I know that fans here in Nashville are all too familiar with injuries. If you are a Titans fan, you know exactly what I am talking about. But the Preds have been playing very, very well since that injury that Philip Forsberg did suffer. Surprisingly enough, it's an above 500 record. They're 11-7-2 since he went down against the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Preds' current average age of their roster, surprisingly now, is 26 years old, roughly the third youngest in the NHL. So the Predators are doing exactly what they should in terms of seeing what they have in order to gauge themselves for the years to come. And with that being said, I know that we have one familiar face coming in that was young, and we'll get to him here in just a few minutes. But the Predators, aside from having a guy like Evangelista pop off for the Predators, Philip Tomasino, he's made his return to the Predators lineup as well with 13 points in 18 games. So he's been playing well. You have to, you know, take into consideration that there is not just one guy carrying the load for the Nashville Predators. So I've been very pleased to see how he's played when he's gotten his opportunities with the Predators. So glad to have him back in the lineup. You want to overcook a guy. We've really overstated that here on these airwaves. Overcooking a guy has been something that Barry Trotz preached for years and years and years. And now, as the next general manager, he'll bring that into play over the offseason and have several conversations with guys on this team. And one guy he will talk to is Dante Fabbro. And Dante Fabbro joined Chase and Michelle earlier this week, and he had some comments about his new contract extension because it's a one-year deal. And for Barry Trotz, that's something he's going to have his hands all over by the time this October rolls around, even the training camp. So we will have to see what Dante Fabbro looks like next year. How improved will he be? What kind of responsibility will they put on him? He's one of the young guys that I will mention here in the next minute or so that really need to continue to play at the level that they are at now. However, he's one of those guys that needs to be a leader moving forward. But here he was on Chase and Michelle this week.
Haven't had a chance to talk to you since the contract extension. What does that mean to you of, you know, looking at the kind of the transition with David Poyle retiring, Barry Trotz coming in as the new general manager, that they wanted to, you know, have faith in or show their faith in you and give you that 1 year extension? What did that mean?
Yeah, it meant a lot. I mean, anytime you can obviously stay where you're at, and you know, I love this team and love this city, and so for them to obviously offer me that the extension, it was a bit of a no-brainer, and you know, just kind of continue to try and build my game. I mean, it's I think all in all, it's been not the year, you know, probably everyone expected, but you know, right now we're kind of looking at the team we have right now, and you know, we've been playing really well, but you know, I'm just excited to be here again and be here with this group of guys, because you know, I think looking at the guys now, like, you can see there's, you know, there's something here, and you know, I want to be a part of that.
And good on his part for wanting to be here during this time for the Nashville Predators, because Evangelista did not back down post game when he was asked about it as well.
Shane was just talking about how these guys stepped up at a time when the roster was a little thin. How important has it been for you and the young guys to step up at this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, with, you know, all the movement and stuff that's gone on, there's an opportunity for young guys here, and you know, I think we're all just doing our best to take advantage of it and, you know, make a name for ourselves and earn a reputation and just trying to stick as long as we can. So yeah, this opportunity with all the movement has been really good for us.
Indeed it has. He has an excellent point saying that the Predators have been taking advantage of their opportunities. One other guy that has been taking advantage of his opportunity is former Nashville Predators forward Elli Tolvanen. So with the Kraken, Tolvanen has scored 23 points in 36 games, and since the Seattle Kraken claimed him, they are 24-16-4. Now, the Nashville Predators have the exact amount of points as the Seattle Kraken have in that time frame. So for all the people out there saying that Tolvanen made a huge difference in this lineup for what the results would look like down the road, well, it looks exactly the same right now. However, Seattle is more poised for a playoff run than the Predators are. That is very true. But that decision long-term has not really taken full effect, if you ask me, yet. So, keyword is yet here, because Tolvanen, he's been a great player for them. He's been great on the power play. You can hear my conversation with Jeff Baker about Tolvanen on the Preds pregame show before the first matchup on Thursday. We talked about Tolvanen some there. But look, he's been thriving there, and that's completely okay, because Tolvanen is a guy that needed another chance. But the Preds have done just fine without him, and that is quite okay. So they're in for a good, tough matchup this weekend against the Kraken, who come to town for the first time since the beginning of last season, where the Predators did give the Kraken their first ever franchise win. So I'll be curious to see how the Predators stand the test against the Kraken, who are poised for that playoff spot. And Pekka, he'll be honored with a statue on Saturday. He'll be immortalized with the Predators, as he should be. Even if he's not in the Hall of Fame at some point in Toronto, he will be honored here, as he should, forever and ever. The ceremony starts at 10 on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza. It opens at 9 a.m. The statue is roughly 800 to 900 pounds and is 11 feet 11 inches tall. The maker of the statue is Scott Wise. We'll be having him on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace on Friday. So you can listen to that conversation live when we have him. Stay tuned for that. But this has been another edition of Keezer's Corner. Thank you so much for listening to Preds Insiders this evening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Nick, that's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. The Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Seattle Kraken, and then once again taking on Seattle coming up on Saturday. So a couple of games in a row here at home against the Seattle Kraken, and we'll see how Elli Tolvanen does in his quote-unquote revenge tour as he comes back and takes on the Predators for the first time since being released slash waived, whatever you want to call it, by the Predators a few months ago. So we'll see what happens on that front. That does it for us today. We'll be back next week. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.